The first task will take place on November the 24th, in front of the other students and the panel of judges. The champions are not permitted to ask for or accept help of any kind from their teachers to complete the tasks in the tournament. The champions will face the first challenge armed only with their wands. They will receive information about the second task when the first is over. Owing to the demanding and time-consuming nature of the tournament, the champions are exempted from end-of-year tests. Mr. Crouch turned to look at Dumbledore. "I think that's all, is it, Albus?"
"I think so," said Dumbledore, who was looking at Mr. Crouch with mild concern. "Are you sure you wouldn't like to stay at Hogwarts tonight, Barty?"
"No, Dumbledore. I must get back to the Ministry," said Mr. Crouch. "It is a very busy, very difficult time at the moment. I've left young Weatherby in charge, very enthusiastic, a little over-enthusiastic, if truth be told."
"You'll come and have a drink before you go, at least," said Dumbledore.
"Come on, Barty, I'm staying," said Bagman, brightly. "It's all happening at Hogwarts now, you know, much more exciting here than at the office."
"I think not, Ludo," said Crouch, with a touch of his old impatience.
"Professor Karkaroff, Madame Maxime, a nightcap?" said Dumbledore.
But Madame Maxime had already put her arm around Fleur's shoulders and was leading her swiftly out of the room. Harry could hear them both talking very fast in French as they went off into the great hall. Karkaroff beckoned to Crumb, and they too exited, though in silence.
"Harry, Cedric, I suggest you go up to bed," said Dumbledore, smiling at both of them. "I am sure Gryffindor and Hufflepuff are waiting to celebrate with you, and it would be a shame to deprive them of this excellent excuse to make a great deal of mess and noise."
Harry glanced at Cedric, who nodded, and they left together. The great hall was deserted now. The candles had burnt low, giving the jagged smiles of the pumpkins an eerie, flickering quality.
"So," said Cedric, with a slight smile, "we're playing against each other again."
"I suppose," said Harry. He really couldn't think of anything to say. The inside of his head seemed to be in complete disarray, as though his brain had been ransacked.
"So, tell me," said Cedric as they reached the entrance hall, which was now lit only by torches in the absence of the goblet of fire, "how did you get your name in?"
"I didn't," said Harry, staring up at him. "I didn't put it in. I was telling the truth."
"Ah, okay," said Cedric.
Harry could tell Cedric didn't believe him.
"Well, see you then."
Instead of going up the marble staircase, Cedric headed for a door to its right. Harry stood listening to him going down the stone steps beyond it, then slowly started to climb the marble ones. Was anyone except Ron and Hermione going to believe him? Or would they all think he'd put himself in for the tournament? Yet how could anyone think that, when he was facing competitors who'd had 3 years more magical education than he had, when he was now facing tasks which not only sounded very dangerous, but which were to be performed in front of hundreds of people? Yes, he'd thought about it, he'd fantasized about it, but it had been a joke, really, an idle sort of dream. He'd never really, seriously considered entering. But someone else had considered it. Someone else had wanted him in the tournament and had made sure he was entered. Why? To give him a treat? He didn't think so, somehow. To see him make a fool of himself? Well, they were likely to get their wish. But to get him killed? Was Moody just being his usual paranoid self? Couldn't someone have put Harry's name in the goblet as a trick, a practical joke? Did anyone really want him dead? Harry was able to answer that at once. Yes, someone wanted him dead. Someone had wanted him dead ever since he had been a year old. Lord Voldemort. But how could Voldemort have ensured that Harry's name got into the Goblet of Fire? Voldemort was supposed to be far away, in some distant country, in hiding, alone, feeble and powerless. Yet in that dream he had had, just before he had awoken with his scar hurting, Voldemort had not been alone. He had been talking to Wormtail, plotting Harry's murder. Harry got a shock to find himself facing the fat lady already. He had barely noticed where his feet were carrying him. It was also a surprise to see that she was not alone in her frame. The wizened witch who had flitted into her neighbour's painting when he had joined the champions downstairs was now sitting smugly beside the fat lady. She must have dashed through every picture lining 7 staircases to reach here before him. Both she and the fat lady were looking down at him with the keenest interest.
"Well, well, well," said the fat lady. "Violet's just told me everything. Who's just been chosen as school champion, then?"
"Balderdash," said Harry, dully.
"It most certainly isn't," said the pale witch, indignantly. "No, no, Vi, it's the password," said the fat lady soothingly, and she swung forwards on her hinges to let Harry into the common room.